Lord, open our hearts and minds by the power of the Holy Spirit, that as your scriptures are read and your word proclaimed, we may hear with joy what you say to us today. Amen. That prayer is an opportunity for us to center ourselves and our spirits, especially if it's a passage that's familiar, that the Spirit might give us new insights. So we begin today from the Old Testament, a reading from the book of Nehemiah, beginning with chapter 8, verses 1 through 3, and so forth. All the people gathered together into the square before the water gate. They told the scribe Ezra to bring the book of the law of Moses, which the Lord had given to Israel. Accordingly, the priest Ezra brought the law before the assembly, both men and women and all who could hear with understanding. This was on the first day of the seventh month. He read from it facing the square before the water gate from early morning until midday, in the presence of the men and the women and those who could understand, and the ears of all the people were attentive to the book of the law. And Ezra opened the book in the sight of all the people, for he was standing above all the people. And when he opened it, all the people stood up. Then Ezra blessed the Lord, the great God, and all the people answered, "Amen, amen," lifting up their hands. Then they bowed their heads and worshiped the Lord with their faces to the ground. So they read from the book, from the law of God, with interpretation. They gave the sense so that the people understood the reading. And Nehemiah, who was the governor, and Ezra the priest and scribe, and the Levites who taught the people, said to all the people, "This day is holy to the Lord your God. Do not mourn or weep." For all the people wept when they heard the words of the law. Then he said to them, "Go your way, eat the fat, and drink sweet wine, and send portions of them to those for whom nothing is prepared. For this day is holy to our Lord. And do not be grieved, for the joy of the Lord is your strength." The gospel reading for today is from the Gospel of Luke, beginning with chapter 4, verses 14 through 21. Then Jesus, filled with the power of the Spirit, returned to Galilee, and report about him spread through all the surrounding country. Jesus began to teach in their synagogues and was praised by everyone. When Jesus came to Nazareth, where he had been brought up, he went to the synagogue on the Sabbath day, as was his custom. Jesus stood up to read, and the scroll of the prophet Isaiah was given to him. He unrolled the scroll and found the place where it was written, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he has anointed me to bring good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim release to the captives and recovery of sight to the blind, to let the oppressed go free, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor." And Jesus rolled up the scroll, gave it back to the attendant, and sat down. The eyes of all in the synagogue were fixed on Jesus. Then he began to say to them, "Today this scripture has been fulfilled in your hearing." This is the word of the Lord for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Let us pray. Lord God, as we enter into this time of reflecting on your words, we ask that you would give us ears to hear, give us hearts to receive, give us minds to be open. Help us to hear a word from you and to rest in your love. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. Show of hands, is anyone glad they aren't preaching on this text about social justice this Sunday after this past week that we've just had? Martin Luther King Jr. Day, a presidential inauguration, along with Senate confirmation hearings, executive orders, speeches, 2 snow days, an HVAC unit that went out. Wait, no, that was just me. It's been a very politically charged week. In seminary, in your preaching course, they teach you about finding the what they call the way in. So as you may know, if you've attended worship for a while, a preacher will often begin with an anecdote or an illustration or, did you know? And then there's a smooth transition into the sermon, and it flows from there. I think this week and this text calls for what I would name the cannonball method. Jesus arrives to the synagogue. He unrolls the scroll and reads the selected passage for that day. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he has anointed me to bring good news to the poor. One commentator points out that the literary style of this account in Luke's gospel is fascinating. For as long as it takes to read the scripture is as long as this scene of Jesus in the synagogue plays out. So Jesus arrives in Nazareth, his hometown. We recall Jesus was born, the Magi visited him. He grew up, he was baptized, and he was immediately led by the Spirit out into the wilderness. He's wandering around for 40 days. He's led into various temptations. And in Luke 4:13, right before this passage, we read, "When the devil had finished every test, he departed from Jesus until an opportune time." Now, an undetermined amount of time passes between Jesus returning to Galilee and this passage that we've read today. He begins to teach, and word is spreading about his teachings. He arrives in his hometown, and he goes to the synagogue on the Sabbath day, as was his custom. This phrase is found only one other time at the end of Luke's gospel as Jesus is going to pray at the Mount of Olives, quote, as was his custom. So if you ever wondered if Jesus had to go to church, the answer is yes. Jesus arrives and he's chosen as the one to read the scripture for the day. Now, there was a curious tradition. The synagogue would select an individual to be its lay leader for the service. Anyone could serve in this space as the community determined competent to read the scripture. The CEB, the Common English Bible translation, says the synagogue assistant gave Jesus the scroll from the prophet Isaiah. So the structure of the readings are much like our lectionary cycle, that they would read through all of the texts. And so it just so happened that Isaiah 61 was the reading for this day. "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me," Jesus reads, "because he has anointed me to bring good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim release to the captives and recovery of sight to the blind, to let the oppressed go free, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor." And he rolled up the scroll, gave it back to the attendant, and sat down. The eyes of all in the synagogue were fixed on Jesus. Then he began to say to them, "Today this scripture has been fulfilled in your hearing." Jesus stood to read the scripture, and then he sat down. The rabbi customarily would stand to read and sit to teach. We often hear of people sitting at Jesus' feet to listen and to learn. Again, with the CEB translation, Jesus rolled up the scroll, gave it back to the assistant, and sat down. "Today, this scripture has been fulfilled just as you heard it." That was Jesus' first sermon, according to the Gospel of Luke. That was kind of what I wanted to do today. Say one line and then sit down. So it leaves us much to wonder. So we're continuing in the season of Epiphany, still discerning together who is Jesus. Epiphany is when we celebrate how God has been revealed to us in the person of Jesus Christ, who came in human form and lived among us, Emmanuel, God with us. Epiphany Sunday was just a few weeks ago when together we celebrated the Lord's Supper and I, as an ordained deacon, was able to bless the elements. Until that day, deacons were unable to invoke the Holy Spirit. The specific prayer within our communion liturgy is called the epiclesis. It's a Greek word meaning to call upon. The prayer goes, pour out your Holy Spirit on us gathered here and on these gifts of bread and the vine. Make them be for us the body and blood of Christ, that we may be for the world the body of Christ redeemed by his blood. Now, why deacons were unable to invoke the Holy Spirit in this prayer is complex, but a primary reason is the role of an elder and that of a deacon is distinct. An elder, Pastor Anita, is called to order the life of the local church. So with that, an elder offers the sacraments to the gathered community. A deacon, Pastor Amy, is called to extend the ministry of the church into the world, to be a bridge that leads God's people, all y'all, out into the world and bring others back in. Deacons are ordained to ministries of word, service, compassion, and justice. When I first discerned my call into ministry, I said, I guess I could do that. That being preach every week, lead committees, visit the sick, preside over communion and baptism. And when I got to seminary, I met people called deacons, and it was like a light switched on. Oh, yeah, that's what I want to do. It was in the work of serving the poor, the unsheltered, the displaced, that I recognized a call into set-apart ministry. Arlington Street People's Assistance Network, or ASPAN, is now called Path Forward. It's an organization just outside of Washington, D.C., and this is their mission. At Path Forward, we empower those experiencing homelessness to build a foundation of lasting stability from the ground up. Our support services help remove barriers to personal self-sufficiency, which lead to a brighter future with permanent housing, improved health, employment, and more. So every Thursday, I would drive to their headquarters, and I would pick up this huge cooler and put it in my trunk, and I would drive over to a metro station near a park, and it was filled with soup containers, and this other van would arrive. Some other group had put together about 50 bagged meals, and together with a friend, we would hand food to whoever would be there. After about 30 minutes, we would leave that location, and we would go to another setting for about 30 minutes. This was back in 2006, and so I was trying to factor in climate change and coldness, but it's cold here, but it was really cold up there in the winters. And Buffalo, I'm sure, was even that much more cold. But on the first few times of doing this each Thursday, I was very focused on the mechanics and the logistics of getting that cooler into my car and worrying if the lunches were going to show up. I would begin over time to become more deeply affected by this work. On a random Monday morning, I might think about the snow that had fallen the night before and wonder if some of these faces I'd seen, how that had affected their safety. These people had no home. A lot of them had no identification. Many times, whatever they had was all, whatever they could carry was all that they had. Without a permanent address, it's exponentially more difficult to gain employment, even to apply for a job. Without access to basic needs, one cannot maintain personal hygiene or have appropriate attire for an interview. Without transportation, you can't get to a job interview. Oftentimes, people who our homeless have a stigma attached to them, and it's hard to be considered over someone else, even if they may be more qualified. Standing out in this park on this, the patch of ice that had been packed down, my feet would get really cold just standing there. And I would hold this, warm container of soup, and I would hand it to someone. And I felt so blessed to be able to have this experience with someone so deeply in need. An encounter with the living Christ in another. "All I need is a pair of socks," this one man said. "They're up there in Washington arguing about this and that. I just need a warm pair of socks." And I think about my friend Phil, who organized our Thursday serving times. He knew that if he could bring people together to serve, just to do something good for another, that they also might have an internal experience, that twinge of, wow, this feels really, really powerful. A way to help lead someone to Jesus and perhaps to the church. The church is a gathered community inclined to help others, to collectively partner with one another, to go out into the world, to gather groceries, to gather toothbrushes, to care for all of God's children. Now, who doesn't like good news? Is there anyone here who could use some good news today? But today, it is Jesus who uses his first sermon to announce good news for the very least likely to expect it. Jesus says, "Today I bring good news to the poor." Echoing the words of Isaiah, the Gospel of Luke emphasizes Jesus' care for the poor. Now, Matthew's gospel would often spiritualize poverty. Blessed are the poor in spirit. Luke would emphasize the economics of poverty, the people who live in our world without even the most basics of needs. Isaiah 61 describes the mission of the servant of God, the mission of the servant of the Lord to be the sin bearer and savior of the people. So Jesus read that critical passage in Isaiah to those assembled in the synagogue, and it began with these words: "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor." The Spirit of the Lord was upon me. Luke liked to talk about the Holy Spirit. In fact, Luke referred to the third person of the Trinity more than all of the other evangelists combined. The name Holy Spirit appears 13 times in Luke's gospel and 41 times in the book of Acts, which Luke also wrote. Compare that to 5 occurrences in Matthew's gospel, 4 in Mark's, and only 3 in the gospel of John. In this chapter alone, we see Jesus being filled with the Holy Spirit at his baptism, led by the Spirit into the wilderness, returning to Galilee in the power of the Spirit, and proclaiming the fulfillment of Isaiah's prophecy that the Spirit of the Lord was upon him. The evidence of the Holy Spirit's work in the life of Jesus was something that Luke wanted to be sure his readers would notice. The name Christ is simply the Greek translation of the Old Testament word for Messiah and means literally the anointed one. He is anointed by the power of the sovereign God. So Jesus comes into the synagogue and reads a text that promised a future Messiah who would come and minister in the power of the sovereign God, being anointed by God himself. To be anointed meant two very different things. On the one hand, one could be anointed by the Holy Spirit to be set apart, to be ordained. Kings were anointed. They were set apart. Prophets were anointed, set apart. Ordained ministers and elders, it's an act of consecration. When Isaiah speaks about the anointing of the Messiah, he is not simply speaking about the Messiah as being set apart and consecrated, but rather that he's being charismatically endowed with power. This tells us that the Messiah would be, and Jesus was, anointed by the Holy Ghost to preach. It's as if Jesus was saying, "You have just heard the mission of the Messiah set forth by the prophet Isaiah. The people of this nation have been reading that prophetic agenda for hundreds and hundreds of years. The people have been waiting generation after generation for the Lord's anointed. Today he is here, right now. You are looking at him. You are listening to him. After all these centuries, when the Anointed One of God appeared on the scene to the people from his hometown. Next week, spoiler alert, we'll hear how they didn't really like what he preached. But today is the day to proclaim 2025 as the year of the Lord's favor. And the fulfillment doesn't end there. I think Jesus is talking about today, this day, as the day of fulfillment, more than he is giving a specific or exclusive list of things being fulfilled. Today is the day to love. Today is the day to tell the truth. Today is the day to forgive. Today is the day to end racism. Today is the day to welcome the migrant. Today is the day to feed the hungry. Today is the day to reconcile and make peace. Today is the day because, as we heard in our Old Testament reading from Nehemiah, this day is holy to our Lord. This day. The remainder of the Epiclesis, the prayer over the elements, is as follows. By your Spirit, make us one with Christ, one with each other, and one in ministry to all the world, until Christ comes in final victory and we feast at his heavenly banquet. Some of what we ask, only the Spirit can do. Only the Spirit can transform bread and wine into the body and blood of Christ. And only the Spirit can make that transformation effective in our lives. But part of what we seek here is something we have to do ourselves. While we gratefully seek the Spirit's empowerment to be one with Christ, ultimately it is up to us to work out how we will be one with each other and one in ministry to all the world. And it is actually up to us to be for the world the body of Christ. Amen. Let us pray. God of grace, God of glory, we know that you are speaking to us and you will continue to speak to us. Help us to remain attentive to your Spirit, to the gift of your presence with us everywhere that we go, giving us courage and power and a call to be your light in places of darkness. Amen.